in marriage counseling, they said, good marriages pull apart and then come back together. And we argue and fight, then we come back together. The marriages that don't make it, they pull apart, there's no repair. They pull apart, there's no repair. They pull apart, there's no repair. They pull, and after a while, people go numb. So when you fight and make up, that's the repair that we build on. We fought through that. And then we have another fight about something. Oh, we fought through that and we came back together. It's okay. It's not fighting that causes a relationship to fall apart.
Right.
It's the lack of repair that causes it to drift and drift and drift.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Darty here with another episode of the PSR Podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. In today's episode, I sit down with Dr. Stephen Cervantes to explore emotional and relational growth in marriage. Stephen shares three powerful principles for husbands. Number one, giving wives space to express emotions without jumping to solutions. Two, being a calm and reassuring presence to help regulate emotions. And three, leading with humility to repair relationship ruptures. Through personal stories and biblical wisdom, we unpack practical ways husbands can show up better for their wives. It's an honest, encouraging conversation that reminds us that strong marriages are built through patience, sacrifice, and Christ-like love. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, I want to invite you to rate and review the podcast on Apple and Spotify because this really does help others to find it. Now let's roll up our sleeves and dive into today's insightful conversation on emotional and relational growth.
All right, we are back with Dr. Stephen Cervantes.
Hey,
so how are you doing today?
I am blessed. I'm glad to be here. I don't know why I get excited to do these little talks. It's you and I sitting in a room telling stories. It's like people listen to us.
It is sometimes hard to imagine that there are, you know, thousands of people that actually, download these and share them. One of my favorite things to hear from our listeners and our viewers is when they say, hey, you know what? We use your podcast in our small group or in our support group or whatever.
Wow.
And they'll bring various episodes and play them, or they'll have the guys listen to them before the week's meeting. I love that.
That is
kind of
fabulous.
Yeah.
Yes. So I thank God today for giving me ideas and concepts. And I don't know why he chose to gift me this way, but I would like to publicly thank our Father in heaven that we can capture ideas and talk about them, and we can share them with others. And we are training one another to be more like Christ.
Yeah, it's part of growth is that we've got to share our ideas. One of our questions that we have in our weekly support group is to share any new ideas or new thoughts that you've had this week, like any lessons learned from the week.
Oh, that's great.
And that's how we grow. Like when somebody goes, oh, God just gave me this thought, or I had this experience this week. If we don't share that,
and everybody like, gets blessed.
Yeah.
And even if I don't particularly need your idea, the excitement that you bring and the reminder to keep growing and that there's stuff out there, just grab it. You know, God is putting stuff before us. And it's like, this would help you. This would help you. Look at this. Here's an idea. Build on this. And that's what his book's all about, right? New ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So
We're gonna hit your sweet spot today because the top of the page here just says emotional and relational growth, and I feel like there should just be a picture of Stephen out next to that because you're the poster child for emotional and relational growth.
Oh, and then we better put spiritual in here too, right?
Yeah,
because that's
yeah.
You know what the big part of all this is. So emotions can be confusing, relationships can be difficult. And always knowing what to do is impossible.
Amen.
Don't we find ourselves in challenges and exploration and discovery on this thing called life and relationship and growing older. And then you have grandkids. And, oh, my goodness, knowing what to do. And it's difficult. But there are guidelines in a relationship between a husband and a wife that will help the relationship grow. Mm-hmm. So I want to teach three principles today.
Okay.
So principle number one, a husband must give his wife room to emote, to express, to vent out her emotions. Many women process life through emotion and conversation. Talking things out helps bring clarity and calmness. And giving your wife space to express a stress, a fear, a frustration, or a doubt communicates that you care. Mm-hmm. Let me highlight this one thing and then you jump in. Giving her space to express her own feelings, giving her the space.
Mm. So, as soon as you said that principle, husband must give his wife room to emote, and then talking about how many women process through emotion and conversation, my wife's face is flashing in my head because I'm going, you've just described my wife. I mean, because that is absolutely how she processes. She is, and we couldn't be more opposite in this way. I totally process internally and then I present.
Oh, right.
And her,
the conclusion, the solution, here's what we should do. And I'll give you two or three back.
Well, and for her, any kind of harebrained idea just pops in her head. It's like, let's process this out. I want to talk. So she's going to talk in order to process. And it's interesting because I didn't realize this for many years, but that because I always thought emotions in general are just expressed through, not necessarily through talking, but just through
through
tears or smile or that kind of stuff. I didn't realize that so much of emotion is actually processed through speech.
Yeah.
Through actually talking. And so this is a huge one for me because I have, I've had over the years where your voice has been, sounding off in my head where I'm wanting to say, what's the point? And your voice is in my head going, stay, stay, hold. Good. Like, it's not the right time to say, what's the point? Yeah. Because I want the bottom line. I'm like, so what's the point? Yeah. She's still processing, you know?
That's good. And somebody, I can't remember who this was, and I have a name, but I don't know if it's right, so I'm just going to hold. But they said, women talk to know what they think. And men think and then tell you the ending.
Yeah.
This is what you said. I do all the work in my head. I run the scenarios and I get to the conclusion. I say, this is what we need to do. And she says, well, why don't we talk about it? No, we did. I already said your part in my head and my thought. And I had the whole conversation in my head and I included you. So, right. But a woman... Many times women need to tell the whole story, and at the end they go, oh, that's why it bothered me. But they don't know until they get to the very end.
So I think I can speak on behalf of probably most of the husbands that are listening to this, most of the men, is when you give these principles, most of the guys are going to be saying, how do I give her space? Like, what does that actually look like? I might be able to comprehend what the principle means.
Okay.
But like, he's trying to figure out, what does this look like practically in my relationship with my wife? Like, as she's emoting, how do I give her space? How do I give her room to do this?
This is too good. Because I have an answer. Talk like a girl. Okay? And I'm going to tell you how girls talk. Somebody says, you can't believe what happened today, blah, blah. And the listener goes, really? And then the storyteller goes, and then we went inside and we had this and they argued and they told me. Then the listener says, oh my. And then the speaker goes on and says, well, this is the third time that happened. I can't believe those people are like that. No. You understand? You're only a place marker in the story. You get out of the way. You say something that sounds connected and listening. You don't jump anywhere. You let the whole story run. And then she reads, because this is how girls talk to each other. One will be on the phone. Blah, 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 blah. And then there's a break. Really? Blah, 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 blah. What? I can't believe that. And they get off the phone and they say, wow, I had this great conversation. Oh, no, it was like a monologue with some bleep, bleep, bleeps in the middle. And it, you call it great.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm thinking about if you had the audio tracks of that conversation recorded separately, like you had the audio track of the speaker and the audio track of the listener. And then if you just played back the audio track of the listener, you'd only have, like you said, these just little blips of, they might even be grunts. They're not even actually words. And yet the speaker is all like
all the content, speech, the whole content. Story.
But so here's the thing. The reason I was kind of smiling as you were saying that is because just recently, my wife and I, we celebrated our 30th anniversary in last December.
Way to go, bro.
And so we went to, we went to where we originally met at Angelo State. And so it's about a 3-4 hour drive, you know, for us to go out there. And as we're on the drive, you know, she was at one point, she was saying something to me and I'm just listening silently. And at a certain point she's like, are you hearing me? And I'm going, yeah, I was totally listening. But in her mind, she was thinking, I haven't heard a marker.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly
in my mind, I'm like, I haven't heard a question. So we realize even after 30 years, that's like there's great. Still these moments where we go, okay, how I create space, like how I listen to her matters in terms of, do you put those little place markers in there to let her know I'm hearing the story, you know? But like you
and
said.
And that's creating space for her to tell the whole story and not getting in the middle of the story and say, well, why do you say it that way? Or why do you use that word? Oh, that makes me mad. No, I'm going to take her side against you. No, get out of the way.
Yeah.
And just give her the space. And I don't mean to say it in a mocking sort of way. You can say, I'm listening. Or you could say, keep going. Or in counseling, they taught us this, say more.
Yeah.
Say more. Oh, he's right there listening. Or keep talking. Oh, he's so interested. It's just a place marker still. Yeah. Right? The whole point is we create space for her to tell her story so she can figure out what's going on with her. And then she's grateful.
So that's a good kind of practical how-to on that first principle of giving a wife room to emote. And maybe another way to say that is room to tell her story, like room to process.
Good, yes. And to emote means tell emotions, tell story, talk about what's going on, her stress, and right, don't fix, get out of the way, just let her, give her the whole space for herself to use as she needs, okay? Principle number one. Principle number two, a wife needs her husband to help her emotionally regulate herself. Truthfully, we both need our spouse to help us regulate at times. Think through the eyes of a child. When the world felt overwhelming, we ran to mom or a safe person who offered us comfort. Right? Man, I don't want to do. It's bad. And you go to your mom and she goes, it's going to be okay. Let me just help. And so the mother helps the child regulate because the mother's calm, then the child calms down. So people help us regulate or help us dysregulate. Right? And what we're trying to do when she is telling you she's overwhelmed, she wants you to be there as a comfort when the world's crazy.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, one of the ways this might manifest even in my relationship with my wife is that, you know, she goes on walks with her brother. And, you know, they're brother and sister. And so he still knows how to push her buttons and some of those kind of stuff. So she'll come back and she might be upset. She's like, oh, you know, my brother. And I've learned from you over the years, I've realized in those moments, oh, I'm not the fixer. In this, like I'm the one that's to be, okay, listen, like let her tell the story. But this idea of regulating is I can be a stabilizer for her to get back to like balance. And sometimes now this may not be right. Okay. But one of the tricks that I've learned over the years is no matter what the argument is that she had with her brother, I take her side.
That's brilliant.
Like, right? I'm like, I'm with you. I'm on your side. You know, like whatever it is.
I love that.
Even if I go, I don't know if I'll get this. I was like, no, I'm with you on it.
Right.
And, but it helps her to kind of bring balance of like, okay, I've got safety and security at home and with my husband and what, so whatever's going on with my brother, I've got safety here.
Right. And you're affirming what we're saying. I can be calm. And is it worth a fight about her and her brother? Is it worth getting in the middle of it? Is it worth haggling words? And
not thoughts? For my marriage.
No, it's not. But you said calming. The word here is regulate. She's dysregulated. The world's out of sorts. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable. And if I can come to you and you realize you can help me regulate, your calm can help me regulate, you can bring me back to calm by being calm.
And can we just say this at this point, that if your wife is coming to you with her emotions, with her stories, and kind of with the emotional ups and downs, let's just consider what a blessing that is. And now if you're in a rough place right now where, hey, there's, you know, you're dealing with your own sexual brokenness and that has come out in your story and all this, in some ways you're going to have to go through a lot of repair to get to a place where you might be able to have this. But if this is happening, if your wife is willing to tell the stories of her day and tell you about where she is, what she's feeling, that in itself is a blessing. So even if you feel ignorant and like you fumble the ball and I don't know how to do a lot of this, the fact that you're still a safe enough place for her to come, count the blessing of what that is.
Because that's beautiful. That's
we don't have to be experts on it. We don't have to be, say, this is the formula, and unless you do it just like this, it's like, no.
And can you really fix another person?
No.
Can you really make them change? You can talk to their head, but their emotions are flooding them and they're dysregulated and they can't get back to balance. And you can see a child, when a child throws a fit, I don't want this, I want it. They're dysregulated. And what happens after a while, they calm down, they get back to their normal self and they go, I'm sorry, I overreacted. Well, that's all of us. Something is going to set us all off.
But that's why I appreciate you kind of framing these as principles. And then there's a lot of freedom in the how-to.
Yes.
Like the principle is give your wife room to emote. The principle is your wife needs you to help her regulate. Underneath that, when we get onto all the how-tos, I'm like, experiment. Like,
yeah.
Be curious. Try different things. You know, we don't want to get locked into the how-to formula.
No.
The principle is what matters. Your wife has a story to tell. She's got emotions to feel. Your wife needs help in regulating and bringing yourself into balance.
And we all do, but we're talking to men right now. Did she need you to regulate when the world is against her, or she's alone, or she's excluded, or nobody cares about her, right? She needs to come to you, and she needs to be assured. Because the next line in this principle is, in marriage, calm presence and gentle reassurance helps your spouse regain that emotional balance. It's true of a child, right? Come on, let's pick you up. It's going to be okay. You fell down and you're screaming, okay, I'll sit here and I'll be a calm presence until you get back to calm. I mean, that's what our wives need. They just need us to help regulate. We need that. When I'm distressed and the world weighs on me, I want to go home and I want to be comforted.
What a blessing when we can be that for each other in our marriages.
Absolutely.
Where we know that we've got a safe place to go, a safe person to go to, that's not going to criticize me, not going to always take the other person's side, whatever, and certainly isn't going to say you shouldn't feel that. Right.
No, that's,
I mean, that's
right.
Not good for regulation.
But I love what you said. I agree with her, because immediately that's calming.
Yeah.
Because look, some of the things she's thinking is right. Is it perfect? No, nobody's perfect. But you're going to find the good. She talked to her brother. She went for a walk with her brother. They had a dialogue. They disagreed. A lot of good happened here.
Yeah.
You know? Or are you going to pick the one thing and make a fight? And now she came for comfort. And now you're fighting about the word or the tone. Or, you know how you are. You're always like, no, just agree and comfort her. And your ratings go up, too. That's the other side. So principle number three, learn to repair relationship ruptures. Differences are real. Conflict happens. Even strong relationships experience damage. What matters most is that we can repair damage. Mm. You know, in marriage counseling, they said, good marriages pull apart and then come back together. And we argue and fight, then we come back together. The marriages that don't make it, they pull apart, there's no repair. They pull apart, there's no repair. They pull apart, there's no repair. They pull, and after a while, people go numb.
Yeah.
So when you fight and make up, that's the repair that we build on. We fought through that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another fight about something. Oh, we fought through that, and we came back together. It's okay. It's not fighting that causes a relationship to fall apart.
Right.
It's the lack of repair that causes it to drift and drift and drift.
That's good.
So repair can begin with humility and ownership. So our conversation went sideways, dear. I'm sorry. I don't like how I responded. I should have listened longer. Can we have a do-over? Can you say what you said and I say it better? And then you do it. You do a do-over. You do a repair with your wife in humility and in the sense that we're trying to create a union here where we have differences. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's easy to fight. It's hard to form a oneness union bond that God called us to.
You know, it's interesting. I found certainly over 30 years of marriage that one of the central issues for repair in the relationship is we've got to be good forgivers. Like forgiveness is so essential. And I will just say this. You mentioned about it's hard. Forgiveness is hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you mentioned it just a minute ago about like, okay, when my wife has an argument with her brother or whatever, and it's like, okay, there were some things it's just like, hey, this is good, and there's some things I might not even agree with. This is sometimes what makes forgiveness really difficult because we go, I want there to be a clean line of like, okay, you have totally offended me in this way, so it's I can clearly see, but sometimes it's like, I want to prove maybe that there was something that I was right about or what. So anyway, sometimes it gets really convoluted and messy because I go, I don't want to be the one that has to offer forgiveness because I wasn't totally wrong here. Or she was, you know what I mean? It's like
right.
You kind of compare of like who gets,
well,
who,
and I
who's
was 70
first,
and you were,
you know?
30
yeah.
In this deal, you know?
And it's like, I love the way you put it here. It begins with humility and ownership. The idea of like, I will own what I've done, and I will confess when I go, man, I didn't get that totally right.
Right, I raised my voice.
Might be one of these things where I say, I don't know if I would change what I think about that, but I can definitely confess that my tone with you is absolutely wrong.
It's beautiful.
You know what I mean? And just be able to own that.
Right, make the repair. Because when you repair a relationship, it restores the connection and it builds trust.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We fought, but we kissed and made up. You took ownership. I wasn't perfect. And whoever confesses first, you know, if the other person, yeah, me too, okay, great. We brought the connection back together. And we can trust that we'll both take ownership, and we're not perfect, and I'm not 100% right, and you're 100% wrong. That's not reality, you know?
I think what it does is this idea of repair, it's reaffirming that we are for each other.
Yes.
And we're going to be with each other. Like, there's a sense in which in some ways, the relational connection, you know, supersedes my right to be right. You know, it's like, hey, this is not about me. It needs to be about the relationship. And if something has caused a wedge in there, then like you said, even if I'm not 100% wrong, I'm going to go, I don't want the wedge to stay in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So even, I mean, I'm going to put it at the extreme, guys, because we're really talking to men here. Even if you're 99% right,
wow,
and only 1% wrong, will you be willing to take the first step for repair? It's like, we need to be that. We need to be on that level of thinking because I don't want anything in between our relationship.
So relationships are wonderful and challenging. We have to keep learning, keep growing. keep practicing patience and humility and sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So principle number one, give her space. Let her have the space to use with her words and her language to tell the story. And it's difficult. And when you said, well, what's the bottom line? What's the point of the story? I'm over here biting my tongue saying, give her space, give her space, give her space. Because I'm bad at, and what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Well, let's do, why are we talking? Let's do something. You know?
Yeah.
So let's give her space, number one. Number two, let's help her regulate. Let's, when she's out of sorts, let's be a calm, safe place for her to come and get a hug and bring herself back to a good place. Because she doesn't want to stay dysregulated, irritated, upset. She wants to get back to normal. And your action, your presence can be helpful to bring her back down. So help her regulate. And number three, when there's a rupture in the relationship, take ownership and make it your job. And I would even challenge you as a follower of Christ, as a man, as a leader, to say, I'll lead back to repair. I'll go first. I'll lay down my life. I'll sacrifice. I'll take ownership. And if I was 1% wrong, I'll take ownership. Because I'm going to repair this. This is too important.
And I would say even so, even though I made the extreme statement about like 99%, 1%, that's not even the focus. All I'm trying to do is make an extreme statement to say that says, initiate repair.
Amen.
So it's like, because I know that there's even some men out there that will be going, but I'll keep it in the back of my mind that I was only 1% wrong. It's like, that's not the point.
Now throw in your face later.
The repair, the relationship, the connection is the point. And so don't try to make it a formula, you know?
So, Father, thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for never giving up on me, Father. Keep growing me and teaching me how to love well. I need your help, Father, to grow. And help me listen to my wife, create space for her. Help me to be a calming influence that helps her regulate when life gets hard for her. And help me be the first to take the first step to initiate a repair. You sought us first, Father. Mm-hmm. You pursue us. You forgive us first. You sacrifice first for us. May we do that for our spouses in Jesus' name.
Amen. And the scripture comes from Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And actually, in the next chapter, Ephesians 5, right before it gets to husbands and wives, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So can we have this idea of mutual submission of saying, hey, I'm for you, I'm with you, I want to serve you, I want this relationship to be good. I want to be able to give you space when you need to tell a story. I want to be able to help you regulate when you feel out of sorts. And I certainly want to be the first who jumps in to try to repair when there's been a rupture. So we do hope that this has been helpful for you as couples, men, especially as husbands. We want to help you, you know, take your next step towards wholeness in Christ and deeper intimacy in your marriage relationship. Amen. So if you'd like more help with taking your next step, please reach out to us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.
Take care. Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Darty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201. Or visit bebroken.org/GTF.